And good morning and welcome to a pre-recorded front page on WWIB and WIB.com. We're going to bring you an interview with Stephen Curtis Chapman that we recorded some time back, and also went out and about and spent some time with the Collective Choir, Mike Rambo and company, folks from as many as 8 different churches, meeting Monday night, 6 to 7:30 at the Lighthouse on Madison Street in Eau Claire. It's really exciting what's going on with them. You're going to hear a lot of their music, especially coming up in segment 2 here today, as well as hearing from a number of the singers who make up the Collective Choir. They've got a couple of events right around the corner, including an event May 20th at Peace Church in Eau Claire. We'll tell you a lot more about. And I'm away today, heading off to Madison, where I'll be in the noon hour for the National Day of Prayer festivities. They have a 5-minute segment regarding the media, and I've been asked to lead out in prayer in that particular portion of the program. So appreciate your prayers for that on this National Day of Prayer. I'm Mark Howerson, front page, made possible in part thanks to you and your generous tax-deductible support of Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. Check out our May gift offers online at WWIB.com. And as we get going today, you know, a little bit on politics, because I just want to kind of define, speaking from my heart, how I hope we can navigate ahead in my remaining time with you, May, June, July, and August, before our family is intending to launch out to Liberia, West Africa. And again, I'd appreciate your prayers for that. We've got a lot going on, intentions in terms of items with Teamwork Africa, hoping to send a container at a cost of about $10,000 in June with a lot of Teamwork Africa items, some Halverson family items. And then also we've got, what else we got going on? We've got trying to sell our house, and so getting things ready in that regard. So need your prayer and support for all of that. But in the meantime, politics. Donald Trump winning big in Indiana on Tuesday. Ted Cruz ends his campaign, stuns a lot of folks. He said he'd go the distance, not going to follow through, said he didn't see a path with that anymore. And then also, we've got John Kasich yesterday suspending his campaign. I mean, why not? He's, you know, still fourth in delegates. Rubio still has more delegates than what Kasich was able to garner. So Donald Trump is, you know, it appears he's going to be the nominee. And so Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson in Eau Claire yesterday saying he's going to support him. Governor Walker saying somewhat reluctantly, it sounds like, hey, I pledged I would support the Republican nominee. If that's going to be Donald Trump, I will. But a lot of Christians wrestling with this, you know, it's something we've explored a lot of here on the program in terms of evangelical support for Trump. We've had folks like Everett Piper who've been strongly opposed to that and have taken issue with people like Jerry Falwell Jr. and others, Pastor Robert Jeffress from Dallas, who have been big Trump backers. And Everett Piper said, well, I wouldn't invite him to Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We've had others like James Herson. I mean, he's taught at Biola Mass Media Law. He's a strong Christian and conservative. And while not ever officially endorsing Trump, he's been very pro-Trump in his commentaries with us weekdays, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 here on WWIB and WIB.com. So I just want to say that the dialogue we foster here, I don't know that there's a corner on the truth on this. I don't know that I'm not going to be about saying you have to vote this way, but we want to inform you and enlighten along the way. And we'll hear from people who have a variety of viewpoints, and some who may say, hey, Gary Johnson, libertarian candidate, the former Republican governor of New Mexico, is now a libertarian. He's claiming to be more conservative than any of those Democratic or Republican candidates. What about him? So, we will hear from a variety of folks, but this past Friday, we had on a pretty good guy to talk to, I thought, Wayne Grudem. He's author of Politics According to the Bible. It's a very lengthy tome on the issue of politics and scripture. Doesn't mean he has a corner on the truth, but he does have an opinion worth hearing. And I thought this morning we could just revisit a little bit of what Wayne Grudem offered for us when we talked with him this past Friday. Just give me an overview in terms of Christians and voting, Christians and elections, and yes, I already told you before the break where this is going towards a general election. Sometimes people say, all right, you know, Jesus isn't on the ballot, so I'm voting for the lesser of two evils in a fallen world. That is, I think, going to be the reality. But how should we view this? How do you understand this? How do you prioritize the issues in making that determination, whether it's president or a lesser office?
You know, Mark, God has given us a great privilege of being able to choose the leaders who lead our country. Very few people in the history of the world have had that choice. And it's a gift from God. It's something we need to use responsibly. So I don't, you know, when Romans 13 says the civil authority is God's servant for your good, and that was under the Roman Empire with the Emperor Nero, not a good emperor. God's servant for your good. I don't like this talk where people say, I'll choose the lesser of two evils. I think they should say, I'll choose the better of two goods, even though they're not perfect. Because the Bible views civil government as a good, something that God gives us for our good. And so I know that people can become cynical and see all the failures of politicians and the system hasn't worked as we like. But look at other areas of society. Nobody's perfect in the business world. Nobody's perfect in the world of education. Nobody's perfect in the university world. Nobody's perfect in our neighborhoods. I mean, we can always look on the dark side and be cynical, but I would be hopeful. And I'm encouraged that God has brought much blessing to the United States of America for its history. I've traveled to a number of countries of the world, Mark, and it's amazing how the United States, I know there's much evil in the country, but we're surely not Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're nowhere near that, because there are far more than 10 righteous in our nation. 29% of the population in one survey are evangelical Christians, another 21% Roman Catholics, among whom many are born-again believers. So maybe 15 to 25%, even if the numbers aren't exactly right, 15 to 25% of the population of the United States are people who regularly read their Bibles, pray to Jesus, and sincerely seek to honor God in their daily lives. And most of those people are deeply grieved by the immorality and evil flowing through our culture. And many are not sitting back and just whining. They're working to change the trend and praying that God will bless their efforts that have been going on for many years. So I know that some people say, oh, we just deserve judgment, God is going to judge us, but my goodness, if God judges a nation with this much Christian influence and presence, tell me which nation of the world will he not then judge? I may be wrong, but Mark and Renee, I am very hopeful. I'm hopeful for the future of the United States, and I'm hopeful that God is going to give us a good president out of this tumultuous political year.
This is an email from Donna, and she said earlier this week, she said, I'd like your thoughts on the elections. I listen to WIB via the web. I hear you discuss politics. I'm a person who knows it's my job to vote, and yet how does one vote for Hillary or Trump? I'm a conservative Lutheran and very strong in my faith. I wonder often who God would elect. Knowing let me just give you the rest. Knowing I need to vote, I find it hard to vote for either of them. She asked my thoughts. She says, I'm asking for an explanation and help besides praying about this for our country. So I deferred to you. I told her I was going to have Wayne Grudem on, Politics According to the Bible. So here we go.
My personal judgment, I'd say vote for Trump. If it's Trump versus Clinton, vote for Trump, because we know what Hillary Clinton would do with regard to the Supreme Court. She would appoint more living Constitution judges who think that the Constitution's words and original meaning do not bind them, but think that they can make up their own decisions and say that they're in the Constitution. And what would happen then with 5-4 majority on the Supreme Court, then maybe 6-3 or maybe 7-2, the constitutional protections that have governed our nation for years would be taken away from us, and there would be more and more. All of the gains of the pro-life forces in the last 30, 40 years would be nullified by a future Supreme Court. Gun rights would be taken away, saying that you only have the right to have a gun if you are a member of a militia or a military force. And same-sex marriage would forever be enshrined in the Constitution. And religious freedom would be significantly curtailed, so that these protections for people to follow their conscience, which are being lost in job after job around the country, I think it would mean that Christians would more and more be marginalized or excluded from one after another occupation. I think that the future of the country as a constitutionally governed republic is at stake, and it would be lost under Hillary Clinton. So Trump is unpredictable, and he's not my favorite choice, but he certainly would be far better than Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Grudem, Dr. Wayne Grudem, author of many books, including Politics According to the Bible. He joined us to talk about that and things in this political campaign season this past Friday. You can find the podcast at WWIB.com. Stick around. When we come back, you're going to learn a lot more about the collective choir. And if you like the singer, you know somebody who does, you got to refer them to Monday night, 6 to 7:30 at the Lighthouse on Madison Street. Come join this choir. Once you hear them, it's going to be hard to resist. Trust me.
The Serta Truckload Sale is on at Bush & Gillis. Mattresses start at only $129 with 12 months interest-free to qualified buyers and free disposal of your old set. Sleep great on a new Serta from Bush & Gillis Furniture, Cameron, Ladysmith, and Spooner.
Christensen Florist and Greenhouse's annual spring open house is this Mother's Day weekend. 11 greenhouses filled with beautiful indoor and outdoor plants, including a huge selection of hanging baskets and patio pots, plus annuals, perennials, proven winners, vegetables, herbs, and more. In appreciation of you, their customer, they're offering 15% off their amazing selection of perennials with many new varieties. Register for a chance to win a $50 or $100 gift certificate. Stop by this Mother's Day weekend, May 6th, 7th, and 8th at Christensen Florist and Greenhouses, 1210 Mansfield in the West Hill, Chippewa Falls, open 7 days a week.
The sounds of the Collective Choir here on Front Page, a pre-recorded Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson. Recently, we had Mike Rambo in studio, and he was telling us about the Collective Choir, and so I got out with them, and what a blessing it was. They practice in a location associated with the Lighthouse on Madison Street in Eau Claire, and every Monday night, 6 to 7:30, they've got some upcoming events, including this Nigerian fundraiser that Joe Wentland is a part of. It's going to be a benefit concert for the kids of Nigeria coming up Friday night, May 20th, 6:30 to 10 at Peace Church at 501 East Fillmore Avenue in Eau Claire. Cost for a single ticket, $15, and for families, $35. You're invited to come for a night of music, not only with the Collective Choir, but also with Anna Johnson. So more on that here coming up in this segment. But the Collective Choir, just to get in their midst, you're going to hear various portions of some of the music that they are rehearsing coming up, and from a number of their contributors from as many as 8 different churches. Coming up in this segment here on WWIB and WIB.com. And Mike Rambo starts us off, the music director of Collective Choir.
It's just been something that's been on my heart for about 9 years. And it's been amazing to see when God says go, we just follow in obedience. And that was about almost 2 years ago. And then we just started walking out little things at a time until last year, at about this time in April, we launched full-time here at the Lighthouse every Monday night. And it's been an adventure of sometimes we'd have 3 people at rehearsal, but we'd like, well, I guess we're going to do more praying tonight. And just time with God. But this idea of having something that the churches can do together. And what's more appropriate, too, than praising the name of the Lord? And so this is a simple something that we're doing together. And right now we have 8 churches represented. But I'm also the music director on the CLC side of Peace Church, and that's been a great season being there. Peace has been great supporters, but this is actually a very neutral organization on purpose. We meet downtown at a neutral site because we're saying, hey, we're going to stand unified in one common ground, and that's praising the name of the Lord, and so that's what we do.
Hi, my name's Chris Rambo, and I actually didn't really want to be part of the choir, but my husband is the music director, and we actually had a bit of tension for a while deciding my role in this choir, and when I came, I got hooked, and now they're my family, my extended family. So I'm the crazy one jumping up in front and directing and dancing my heart out to this awesome praise music. So.
What about inviting other people?
Oh, gosh. Yes, please come. You will have a great time. People pray together, we worship together, and we become family. So please come on down. 6 o'clock every Monday at the Lighthouse.
Well, I'm Tim Hawkins. I'm from Valley Brook Church, and I came to, expand myself musically, but I didn't realize that I was going to expand myself spiritually and and to sing the glory of God. And it's just been an amazing experience, and I'd welcome other people to come. I'm Tim Hawkins. I'm from Valley Brook Church, and I came to, expand myself musically, but I didn't realize that I was going to expand myself spiritually and to sing the glory of God. And it's just been an amazing experience, and I'd welcome other people to come.
Hi, my name is Mike Holton, and I'm a member of Christ Temple, and I just love worshiping and praising our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, in the beauty of holiness and in spirit and in truth, and I enjoy singing. And I'm encouraging anyone who would like to come and be a part of the collective choir. There is plenty of opportunity to give our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, all the praise.
Hi, my name is Jean Minnick, and I'm from Westridge Church. I've been in choir for quite a while now, and the reason I'm in here is because I love to sing, I love to worship, and I love to entertain. So please do us all a favor, do yourself a favor, come down and sing with us and party with us.
Again, we're listening in this segment on Front Page to the sounds of the collective choir and various members introducing themselves to us. The music director is Mike Rambo. He was with us in studio recently, and I got out with him just a short time ago. They meet at the Lighthouse on Water Street, and there's childcare available. And so, that might be an incentive for you, too, or to know that that is available. But what a great sound, and it was just so uplifting to be with them. And I can't encourage you enough to turn out for some of their upcoming events, including May 20th, the benefit concert for the kids of Nigeria, at Peace Church in Eau Claire. Again, that's raising money to help send kids to school there. Anna Johnson's going to be a part of that as well. $15 for singles, $35 for families to go to that event Friday, May 20th, 6:30 to 10 at Peace Church in Eau Claire. But let's listen to a little bit more of the music of the Collective Choir. And if you want to become a part of this choir, just show up. They practice each and every Monday night, 6 to 7:30, the Lighthouse on Madison Street. They're represented by as many as 8 different churches, and I know Mike Rambo would love to continue to see that number grow. Here they are now on WWIB with Bless the Lord, the Collective Choir, Eau Claire's own.
My name is Joe Brownell. I go to Peace Church. About a year ago, I just felt God's calling to do something with music, and I was talking to Mike Rambo, and he said, "Sure, come on down, join the group, and you're more than welcome." It's very welcoming here. We lift up praise to the Lord and sing to His glory, and that's a beautiful thing. We've become a great community here. So I just invite you all to come on down and listen to the choir and see what we have to offer.
I'm Connie Hagen. I'm from Peace Church also. And when Mike was hired as our music director, I was so excited. And I love leading worship. I love singing to God. It's my passion for my life. And when I heard he was starting a choir, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to be in it. I have to sing to God with him. And this group of people is just, they are just awesome. And we love the Lord. We want everybody to learn about Jesus, to know his love, his grace, his peace, his mercy. So please come and join us. And come and sing with us on May 20th and June 11th also.
My name is Susan. My husband and I are both in the choir, and it's been a real interesting experience to sing together. We'd never done that before. But to learn together and have these sort of fun, I guess, musical adventures has been really a great way for us to bond as a couple. We bring our three kids along, and I'm so thankful they provide childcare every week for rehearsal time. And that's such a blessing for us to be able to have that time together with this group to praise and worship and be creative and just meet new people from all over the community, all different churches and backgrounds. And it's just a wonderful experience for both of us.
Just call on me, brother.
My name is Pam Mattoon, and I started singing with the choir a little over a year ago. So I've done a couple of outings with them, and I can say from a musician's standpoint, because I've been doing music for a long, long time, this is a very dynamic group, but it's also the most relaxed performance. All of the every time we go out, it's been full of joy. You do your best. But the quality is also right there, really good. The writing is great. The musicians are wonderful. It's been fun to also sing again with Matt playing behind on the keys. My husband plays the organ, and so he shreds the keys there behind as well, and it's been a lot of fun to do this. And it's a family thing. It looks like my daughter's going to start joining as well. So got all three of us now.
Call me when you need a friend.
Call me
when the road is rough.
Call me. I'm Eilish. I'm Pam's daughter, and I guess I'm the younger person of the group. And I was here a while back, and it was fun, and I wanted to join, but school kind of got in the way, and now that school's almost over, I am so glad I'm going to be able to join. It just fills me with joy, and it gives me something to do. It definitely does, and I really just come. It's a great experience. Just try it out, and hopefully you're going to like it, because I like it.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the fun, uplifting, inspirational sounds of the Collective Choir. This segment on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com on this National Day of Prayer Thursday. Again, if you want to become part of the Collective Choir, my sense is Mike Rambo, the music director, he'd love to have you. They practice once a week, Monday nights, 6 to 7:30 at the Lighthouse. You can find that easily on Madison Street in Eau Claire. Again, Mike's involved with worship leading at Peace Church in Eau Claire as well, but he'd love to see more and more folks from more and more churches a part of this terrific group. And finally, as we wrap up this segment on the Collective Choir, he invites you to come out, if not to take part in the choir, to check them out at some of the upcoming events they'll be having.
We got some great concerts coming up. One is for Nigeria, to pay some school fees, because the lack of education is actually what's keeping the opportunity away from some of these kids who could excel and start to sow back into the communities and revitalize their communities. And that's on May 20th at Peace Church, and that's with the Collective Choir and Anna Johnson, a great singer-songwriter. And so that's going to be great. June 11th is going to be at the Plus, and we have one of my friends from the cities. He's also been with 513 Free. His name is True Serva, and he's going to be here. Marcus is going to do a great job filling in as our guest artist on some rap, and it's going to be a party. June 11th, that's 7 to 9. Hope to see you down there.
Running a business means making every hour of every day count. DCS NetLink offers the solution, the Google Calendar app. With Google Calendar, you can share project calendars among team members, make appointment scheduling easier, and even send invites and manage RSVPs. Plus, you can access it from any web-enabled device. DCS NetLink can even schedule sessions to teach your staff all about it. Get the solution to making every hour count. See DCSNetLink.com.
The kicks just keep coming at Mega Holiday. We're talking four new flavors of Kickstart by Mountain Dew. There's Midnight Grape, Watermelon, or how about Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Mix and match any of your favorite Kickstarts for only 99 cents. So kick it into high gear and head to Mega Holiday for Kickstart. Grab an old favorite, or try a new one like Midnight Grape, Watermelon, Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Because any Kickstart is only 99 cents, only for a limited time, and only at Mega Holiday.
It's the 5th annual Not Quite All Night Extravaganza at Down to Earth Garden Center this Friday. Stay out late shopping, picking out the perfect Mother's Day gift. Take advantage of the best deal on hanging baskets in town, just $15 for a 10-inch hanging basket. Don't miss Down to Earth Garden Center's Not Quite All Night Extravaganza this Friday from 6 to 11 p.m. Down to Earth Garden Center, Highway 93, Eau Claire. Family owned, locally grown. Experience the difference.
A few months back, I had a chance to speak with Stephen Curtis Chapman about his latest praise and worship release. In fact, it was going to be the first release he'd ever done that was wholly and solely praise and worship. And so I'm going to bring you that interview here on a pre-recorded Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. And also at the end of the interview, some personal content in terms of my having a chance to tell Stephen how much his music has meant to me over the years that we haven't aired previously here on WWIB. Stephen Curtis Chapman on the phone with us as he's got his brand new release, Worship and Believe, out. His very first worship project, first worship album in his 29-year career. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking with me. Good to be with you.
All right. So you wait almost three decades before you come out with your first official worship album. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to believe that a guy who's been around as long as I have and doing this has got, that there's anything that I could say, hey, I've never done this before. I did this, I think, a couple of times. But, I have to clarify a little bit because I feel like, you know, everything I've, every album I've done, every song I've written and recorded has been a worship song, in the sense that, you know, all of my music's written with that desire to lift up the name of Jesus, point people to him, encourage people in their journey. But as it relates to real, you know, corporate songs that are, you know, let's sing this together as a congregation, let's declare this together as believers, those kinds of songs that I love, that I, you know, of course, grew up, you know, singing the hymns, and then I can still remember the first time I heard I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, and I heard, you know, people singing that together, and I just, there was something so powerful and so special about that. And then, you know, the corporate worship music that has just kind of swept, you know, like a wave through, you know, through the church in these last few years. I love those songs. I've loved singing them and leading them, and love leading worship, and have incorporated them into my concerts over the years, and have even written a few, you know, with my buddies, you know, over the last few years, Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin, different ones, thinking, you know, I'd love to, you know, write some of those songs. But honestly, 8 years ago, almost now, seven and a half, going on 8 years, it'll be eight in May, when our little girl Maria went to be with Jesus. And of course, I've written a lot of songs since then that reflect, you know, that part of our journey as a family, and kind of the redefining that has been in my life and my faith. But one of the things that I've said often is songs during that time, and really through that, in that journey that I've continued to be on and will be on until, you know, until I see Jesus' face and my little girl's face again, the power of songs that declare what God's word says is true of who he is, of who we are to him, those kinds of songs became, for me, especially in the darkest moments, have been songs that have been a lifeline for me. They took on a whole new meaning. The Psalms, one song in particular, written by Matt Redman, comes from the book of Job, when Job is in his darkest place of loss and grief, and he says, God gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Matt wrote such a powerful song. And that song, for me, in the darkest moments, was, it's not an exaggeration to say this song really helped save my life, for sure helped save my heart and my faith, to just be able to say, God, I don't understand, I don't get this, I nothing is clear, everything is dark, but in this darkness, I'm going to hold on to this one thing. This is all I have to hold on to, that you are good, that you're God, that you're worthy of praise, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to declare this. And in that, for me, the power of that, the sustaining power of having those kinds of songs to take what I knew in my head to my heart and into my life, to keep me moving and keep me breathing, I realized, you know, I want to write some songs from that place now that I've experienced the power of that. I'd love to, you know, write some songs that are just those songs of declaring, this is what God's word says, this is who he is, and let's sing this together. And so that was the beginning of Worship and Believe, really, for me. That was when I think those first seeds were planted in my heart and soul to want to write these kinds of songs for a recording.
You know, Stephen Curtis, in preparing to do this interview with you, I had kind of ruled out, I wasn't going to bring up Maria's death, but since you did, the first concert you did was actually at Life Fest in Oshkosh, and my wife and I and our kids were there. And I wonder if you remember, that had to be one of the tougher concerts you ever did, because it was your first public singing performance after her death.
Yeah, I do. I remember it very well. I remember how much I debated whether it was time, whether I should or could, what songs could I sing, you know, what songs would it be appropriate to sing. You know, I was in that place of just trying to begin to grapple with, you know, I mean, if all of this was true before, can I still sing even songs like, you know, This Is the Great Adventure, you know? I mean, it's like all of that took on new meaning. But if you'll remember, you may not remember this, but I know for sure because I know that every concert I did, at least for the first year or two after Maria went to be with Jesus, every time I walked on stage, the first thing I sang was, "Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
That was the song that I sang, and that was the reason, because that reality had become so important for me to say this before I say anything else. This is what I'm going to declare. Everything I'm going to say after this is, you know, is a choice to worship, to trust God, you know, whether I see it, whether I understand it, you know, through the tears, I'm going to proclaim that God is good, that God is God, that He is in control. And so that is, and then the first tour I did after that, of course, was with Michael W. Smith. We did the United Tour, and that was, again, night after night, Michael would lead in worship, and we'd start the concert every night with "Blessed be Your name," and we worship together, and you know, so that's, you know, I've just been such a part of my journey of coming to see how powerful, just, you know, the scripture says, and I say it in one of the songs on Worship and Believe, in the song "More Than Conquerors," where I sing, "By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the enemy has been and the enemy will be defeated." And I've just seen, you know, my own experience when the enemy was trying to destroy my family, you know, through just those darkest days, and just to have those promises of God to sing and to weep and to cry out and to sometimes scream as loud as I could, but to sing and say, this is what's most true, you know. And I think right now, I mean, we look around just at the world and what's going on in the news and politics and elections and all the craziness, and we just, you know, it'd be so easy just to give in to hopelessness and despair and, you know, the confusion. And I think it's just so vitally important that we keep dropping our anchor in the promises of God and tell us, wait a minute, we know who's on the throne, we know who's in control, and we're trusting Him. You know, that's where our hope is, that's where our trust is.
I was just recommending to someone very close to me even earlier today, who's going through some over the last year, some serious trials, and I recommend read Job. Also, Larry Crabb's book, 66 Love Letters, the chapter on Job, and it's Larry talking with God through the various 66 books of the Bible, and I'd recommend that too. But I remember that concert you did that night, that song, but also your friend Jeff Moore, as he came out on the stage, and they sang and kind of ministered to you as well. So
yeah, absolutely. I remember it very, very well. My dear friend Jeff was walking right beside me through those earliest, hardest days.
A friend in need is a friend indeed. Your debut single on Worship and Believe is Amen. We've been enjoying it here. Play that amidst this interview. Talk to us about that terrific song.
Well, that was one of the several on the record that I had the privilege of writing with some other worship leaders. You know, as I call them, the trained professionals. I'm like, you guys do this regularly. You write songs for the church.
Yeah.
You know, I called up Chris Tomlin, I called up Matt Redman, I called up Matt Maher, and I called Chris and Gareth of Wren Collective, because I'm a big fan of their music and their hearts. And I had this kind of song that just sort of felt like Wren Collective to me. And really, it's a song about just agreeing with God. You know, I feel like that's really at the heart of what I've come to understand worship is about. It's just kind of the most intelligent thing we can do as human beings, I feel like, is when we just sort of go, okay, God, yes, what you said, I agree, you know, because there's just not anything any more intelligent we can do than agree with the God who made us and created us and agree with what He said. And so I thought, you know, I want to write a song that really just does that. It, you know, there's not really anything more we can say other than amen. God, you said it, you declared it. I'm gonna restate it. I'm gonna say it, and sing it again. This is what you said, and then my response is just gonna be yes, amen, I agree. And so that's really what this song is intended to help people do.
I want to be respectful of your time. We've gone 10 minutes. Is that what we had, or was it 10 or 15?
Well, we can probably go a couple more minutes if you got if you got anything else.
Yeah. Okay. You recently did a short tour with Amy Grant. I think your first headline tour with her ever before. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's crazy to think after all these years that Amy and I have never actually toured together, but we haven't. We've done a lot of concerts together, you know, and we'll do an awards show or this or that, but as far as actually going on tour and doing several nights in a row, it was a really, really special thing. I've known Amy for a long time, but not really well, you know, just kind of see each other at events or whatever, and you know, same kind of thing when I toured with Michael W. I mean, here's a guy that I respect so much, you know, respected his music for years, but when I got done with that tour, I was really, really considered him a friend, a dear friend, and the same thing with Amy, just getting a chance to, you know, sit and have meals together with all of her and her crew and band, and, you know, working out the concert, working out the set list, and then the whole night, what was really special about that tour is we did the whole night together. I mean, we didn't leave stage. I stayed and played guitar and sang backup vocals on all of her songs, and she stayed out and sang with me on my songs. And
cool.
And sometimes she just sat on a stool and just kind of listened. She just stayed either in the audience with me or singing with me the whole night. And we shared a band together, so, you know, we never had to change things over. And it was just a really very cool interactive kind of night between the two of us. And, of course, great songs that took everybody down memory lane, you know. She's singing, you know, Thy Word and El Shaddai and all those great songs. And I'm kind of playing along with her. And then I'm singing, you know, some of the older songs of mine. And, you know, she sang a verse of Live Out Loud with me. And
it's not
it was just a really cool night.
It's not that often you actually would team up with somebody who's actually done this longer than you have.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. That's what she kept pointing that out. It's like, how far does that song go back? I'd say 1987. That was my first record. She goes, okay, this one's from 82. I was kind of like, okay, you win.
Yeah, right.
Then I give.
Right. Exactly. And now you go from one Hall of Famer to another as you're going to tour with Third Day.
Oh, yeah. Super, super excited about that. We're going to, same kind of thing. Actually, Third Day and I have talked about it for years. They've, you know, their guys, Mark and Dave Carr and, you know, the guys in their band have always said, man, we, you know, we listen to your music, you know, when we were, you know, in high school, in college. I mean, your music was some of the first Christian music we listened to and heard, and it really influenced us. And so someday we want to play the Great Adventure with you. You know, someday we want to be your band. And I was like, hey, I would love that. Let's do it. So it took us a while to finally get our schedules and tours to all line up, but that's what we're doing. They're going to be my band. Third Day will be my backup band, and I'll be, you know, I'll be a part of their band. I'm going to be playing guitar at Third Day. So it's pretty cool, pretty amazing opportunity to get to do that with those guys.
Well, may that unity that you're having with Amy Grant in performance and with Third Day, hopefully that can filter down into the church, and the Republican Party probably wouldn't mind getting a little bit of that too. So that would be unity's kind of lacking these days.
Absolutely, man. Let's join hands. Let's kind of figure out a way to bring this thing all together.
Absolutely. Hey, as we let you go, my wife and I have a ministry called Teamwork Africa, and it started when we two wanted to adopt a little boy. One and then two boys from Liberia, West Africa, and one of the boys died of cholera on June 30th, 2009. And my wife led the way. We put a well in there, then a school, and now 415 wells later, we've got a ministry called Teamwork Africa. I hope if you could look at the website, teamworkafrica.org.
Okay.
But you've been an inspiration. Part of Teamwork Africa is Reach, Rescue, Restore. And so the rescue and restore comes from your song Yours, and just want you to know, I mean, all the way back to our wedding, October 17th of 1998, as we went down the aisle, it was to the Great Adventure, and certainly it's been that. And between and actually we're planning to move our family, including our four kids ages 11 to 16, to Liberia this fall, August and September. And so just sharing that, in fact, I'll close with this. It was hearing you on Focus in the Family weekend in November 2006. You quoted John Piper as saying, adoption is the living gospel. And that's when I told my wife, all right, let's start to pursue adoption. And things continued to unfold the way that they have. So anyhow, there you go.
Wow. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all of what you are and everything you stand for, okay?
Absolutely, Mark.
All right.
Good to be with you.
All right. God bless you.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Stephen Curtis Chapman this morning on WWIB and WIB.com on Front Page. Coming up, if things work correctly, you'll hear from me in Madison getting ready for the National Day of Prayer festivities at our state capitol. That's coming up in our final segment on a Thursday Front Page, a best of pre-recorded program here on WIB and WIB.com. Stick around.
Spring is in the air, and so are huge savings at the Peebles One Day Sale. All day, Friday and Saturday, you'll find an incredible 50% off almost everything in-store and online. Not only that, you'll also find 70% off all fine jewelry. And don't forget, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and our doors will open early at 11 a.m. It's the 50% off almost everything One Day Sale. Hurry in to save at Peebles, part of our stage family. Exclusions apply.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
Sound System Equipment Rentals and Setup, Speed of Sound, Eau Claire.
All right, this is Greg in for a few minutes, and Halvo, as you heard, is doing a best of Front Page show today, but he is on the road down in Madison for the National Day of Prayer event. Mark, how's it going down there?
Good, Greg. It's a sunny day here with temperatures in the 60s and folks starting to gather for this National Day of Prayer. They are offering prayer inside in room 413 of the Capitol, 413 North, started at 8 this morning all the way until 5 o'clock. Today's the 65th annual National Day of Prayer, and this invitation for me to head up the media portion of the hour of prayer during the noon hour at the Capitol ties into the fact that we've got a WIB listener, Jolene Helbig, who is from Shell Lake, part of Shell Lake Full Gospel, and she's been the state coordinator for the National Day of Prayer for several years, and within the last couple of weeks said, would you be interested or available to come down to Madison and head this up before you and your family head off to Liberia? And thanks to you and the folks at WWIB, this is where we're reporting live from today.
Well, we're glad to have you down there, proud that you were asked. And, well, I tell you what, the media, we've seen the influence of the media in the presidential primaries and the election coming up here, and this fifth pillar needs a lot of prayer.
Yeah, that's right. Whether fifth pillar, whatever you might call it, but the fact of the matter is, you know, think about our media, radio, TV, newspaper, the websites, blogs, tweets, everything that goes on. It's so burgeoning and expanding with our modern technology, right? Even we've seen it more than just going out over the air, but with live streaming at WIB.com, WOGO.com, our podcasts, blogs. But lifting up, you know, these are people. These are people who are editors and directors and reporters. And so lifting them up, thinking of them spiritually, a lot of times we can condemn them or complain about it. But how many times have we been praying for those people? I think Cal Thomas has made this point a number of times and has done a great job of reaching out to men and women in the secular media. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity. Basically, I get a short time to introduce myself sometime in the noon hour and then lead out in 2 minutes of prayer. And then there'll be others who pray with partners during the remaining 3 minutes in the media portion, and also praying for our government, education, business, and various sectors of society during the noon hour here at the Capitol.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you again for going down and representing the Lord and representing us as well at the National Day of Prayer event in Madison. And I can't think of a better place for you to be today as you pray for the media. So thank you.
Yeah. All right, let me just close with this. Isaiah 58:1 is the theme verse this year. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Encourage everybody to do that today. Raise your voice like a trumpet in prayer.
Amen. All right, Mark Halverson, host of Front Page, on the road today for the National Day of Prayer in Madison.